Hey everybody, it's another week and another episode of Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here again. Got Joe Morales, and we're going to start off with Lion Volleyball. Coach Joe, it's right around the corner.
It is.
A couple more exhibition scrimmages, and then it's the real thing next week, right?
Next week. We open up next week. We have our last scrimmage this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Fieldhouse.
Okay.
Against Southwest Oklahoma State, their Division II team. But it gives us to work out some lineups a little bit before we head out into opening weekend, which will also be here.
Man, who the Lions going to play? Let's kind of tease that
so it's a three-day weekend. We start on Friday, and we are going to have a 5 o'clock p.m. match against Texas Southern, and then we move into Saturday. We'll have a 4 o'clock match against Southern Illinois, Carbondale, and then we'll finish off the weekend on Sunday at 2 o'clock with Louisiana Monroe.
Going to be busy.
Going to be busy.
Just the start of it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Little road trip after those.
Yeah. Really quick turnaround. So we'll ride Sunday, and we leave on the following Wednesday to New York City, to St. John's University. So it's going to be a busy time for them. So we're trying to get everything in these last couple days that we need to finesse some things and look at some things and make sure what we're going in with is all in on it.
So when you go to New York, St. John's only or
no? Yeah,
some other?
Yeah. So the
multi-team.
We'll have 4 weekends of multi-team. So that will be our second weekend. We'll have St. John's. We will have Rider University and University of Alabama Birmingham,
UAB. Okay.
That would be our second weekend. And then we go to our third weekend. The following weekend after that, we'll play at UTSA, another multi-weekend. We'll play UTSA. I believe it's IU Indy. I believe they changed their name recently. And then Gonzaga, my alma mater, which will be fun. And then going into the fourth weekend, we have a little stop at Oklahoma, OU. I believe that's the 15th. And then we'll finish off that weekend at UNT with UNT, North Texas, Tarleton, and West Virginia.
And this is totally from a person that doesn't get to follow volleyball as closely as they probably should. When you talk about college volleyball, Division
right.
One,
right.
And a lot of people think, well, you got to get Nebraska in that conversation. Is Oklahoma in that same conversation? How is Oklahoma volleyball?
I think they're on the rise right now. I think the coach has been there for 2 or 3 years. He's building up that program. SEC, I believe. They're in the SEC. So they're coming around. They've had a little stagnant a while back, but they're coming around in the SEC right now. So that will be a fun one to do. Last year they did pretty well. I want to say they were either on the verge or went to the NCAA tournament. I can't recall. But what also caught my eye is, you know, Central Arkansas got a win against them last year as well. And if you recall, when Central Arkansas was here, we beat Central Arkansas. So I think just the way the way NCAA is right now, I think there's a lot of it getting a little bit more even across the board now. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your percentages of like the Nebraska and the Texases, but I think everything in between there and to here is going to be a little bit more even out now, and you're going to start seeing that in the future with, you know, the way NTA is is operating now. And so I think that's going to be a good thing. And, you know, we got bigger, of course, so that's going to help us as well. And so we're excited. We're excited to compete and get going.
All right. So new team. You know, they got to come in and they got to gel. And you had your team building trip, right?
Yeah, we did at Broken Bow. And so that was really good. We did 3 days there. A lot of team exercises, team bonding, activities. The team got to know each other. Of course, we have a good mixture of transfers, so junior college transfers. Mm-hmm. And then we, of course, the 3 freshmen also are getting to know the speed of the game. And so I think that went really well and got a little bit of insight of who we are. And I think we're still growing through this preseason, but I like the direction we're headed, and we got a lot of returners and even transfers that have a little bit more experience that are going to be helping us along the way too. So we're definitely excited about that.
All right. So I've heard that, you know, you need Mr. Miyagi on the staff here right now.
Yeah, but, we do.
You know, those are opportunities for other players to step up.
Yeah. And it's like I always tell my team, you know, I don't, as a coach, we don't give chances. Like, we're out there to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not high school or juniors club where, you know, everyone's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
The best are going to play. And so this is a, like you said, like, I don't give chances, but that now
opportunities
knocking on some of the footsteps right now, and so it's up to them to, you know, answer those opportunities, and that's when, you know, you get a little bit more leverage in there. So I think this is a good voyage to find those opportunities. I think there's going to be a lot of those opportunities ahead for our younger players as well as for our transfers. So I told the team the other day, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're competing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, but you're also competing for position. I think now going into our fourth year, it's a little bit more closed off. It's a little bit more with the gap with our top players and the players right under them. It's a little bit more competition there. And that's what we want to see.
Sure.
We want to see that depth. That's depth, and that's and that's grit a little bit. And so that's what we want to see. And so I think that's where we are right now. And like you said, some Mr. Miyagi and some potions and some opportunity, we're gonna get it going.
You always want to get out of camp healthy, and
yes,
it's hard to get out of camp.
That's
healthy.
The biggest
thing.
It
doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. And everybody goes through this, no matter what. This is my 17th year, I believe, of coaching college, and it's not like I have not been here before. So. You know, the team is rallying on any of that stuff that we may be dealing with. But at the end of the day, we have, you know, no excuses and one goal.
Okay.
So we're excited, though.
So the one question about the team building that everybody wants to know is, who did the cooking and how was it? Coach Val, her group, they love to cook.
Yeah, yeah.
That player is graduating.
Right. So, cooking was done by the team.
Mm-hmm.
Both nights they cooked dinner. Let me rephrase that. One night they cooked dinner. One night they helped assist cooking the dinner.
Okay.
But somehow, I don't know how I got roped into that, but I was the grill master on the second night. But they did a good job on the first night. Really good food. And then my staff contributed and helped with the breakfast. So. Everybody did their hand. Everybody was working at some point. You know, if they weren't cooking, they were cleaning, getting stuff in order, helping. So I think, you know, one of the things we preach a lot with our team is we want to be a service to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the best way to be a good person, is to always be a service to other people and always enjoy that as well. And I think that speaks volumes. And I think that trip was a big testament to who these kids are and the direction that they're going in their lives. And I think they did a really good job of helping each other out. And then they had some good times, you know, at the pool and kayaking and some fun stuff of that. But I think it was a good bonding trip.
Was everybody, I mean, had everybody been out in that kind of setting?
No. This is our second year we've done it. And not everybody has done it. So, like, a lot of new people got a chance to do that. And they absolutely loved it. You know, you're out there. I mean, Broken Bow is a beautiful area, and we had a huge house with the pool, and the kids got to, you know, go through that, and it's very secluded and very wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, we got to do stuff, you know, like hiking, and we did some kayaking, and so they have a human maze out there that is just really,
oh wow,
really a team building thing.
Is that where the Bigfoots are hanging? You know, the last time I drove through there, they had all these, you know, the cutout Bigfoots.
They do. They still have all those out there.
It's like the capital of Bigfoot.
It really is.
And now those are fitting into Jefferson and Marion County.
Are they really now?
Around Caddo Lake, because they, you know,
go through there too.
They had a sighting, you know.
Yeah, they have
years ago.
They have so many statues of there, but they have this really human maze that you go in and you have to get. There's five towers that you got to get to, get stamped, and then you got to find the exit. And it's literally a maze. Like, you're going to dead end. You're trying to figure. And even, I mean, the coaching staff, we had we finally made it out, but we had some trouble just getting out. But you, it shows a great leadership and just communication and learn. You know, people have to learn how to lead. People have to learn how to follow. They have to learn how to be concise. So be a team versus one doing the other, because then you get lost and you don't stay with your team, and now you're doing it by yourself. And so it was a really good team building exercises, and the kids have fun with it, and they're very competitive too. So they were rubbing it in a little bit with us getting third this year. We got first last year, the coaching staff. This year we got third. So they made that known a little bit.
Brock Callaway has a posse. And one time for their trip, they were up there, and they were they went for the axe throwing.
Oh, yeah. We did that my first year.
Yeah.
Not there, but we've done axe throwing my first year. I don't
want to
brag.
Trainers probably don't want you to do much of
probably
that.
Probably not, but it's so much fun. We did that my first year, and I'm not going to brag a little bit, but I found the bullseye a little bit with my one-hand toss. I don't know. And that was my first. People thought I'd been doing it for years. I'm like, that's my first time I've ever done it.
No.
I don't know. I guess we got to do it again to find out if it was just a fluke or not. But I enjoyed that.
I want to be there for that.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. We got to do that.
One more time, Coach. We're about out. You got the scrimmage next week. Are the openers next week.
Yeah, openers next week. So we got the scrimmage on Saturday. This Saturday, 2 o'clock at the field house against Southwestern Oklahoma State. And then we open up next Friday against Texas Southern at 5 o'clock p.m. And then we go on Saturday and Sunday as well. Look forward to having you guys come out and support. Our kids are ready to play in front of you guys and show them what we've been building. So look forward to seeing all you guys there.
All right. Lines up, everybody. We'll be back with more Inside Lion Athletics after this. Hey, folks. Welcome back. More Inside Lion Athletics. We go from volleyball to football. We got to meet the DC last week. Now we're going to go over to running backs and our special teams coach, Chris Roberts. Hey, you know how to do this Lion thing because you're an alum.
Since 96.
It's great, man.
Lion made,
and here you are. Getting ready, first game's coming up. Unlike the other sports, there are no friendlies with another team. You just got to beat on each other until it's time for that first game against Mercer.
Yeah, those kiddos, they're just scrapping at the bit to go play another opponent. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
So tell us a little bit about the running backs room. You've got two of them to keep an eye on, not running backs, but rooms, running backs, and then your special teams.
They do a great job of getting together. I mean, they don't separate themselves. So sometimes we've got specialists of running backs that we're talking about running backs, and sometimes we're talking about specialists. And they're really a tight group. It's kind of unique to see them. And the reason why sometimes that happens, it overlaps just because of the time management during camp. The running back room it's got some young guys that we're looking to step up and mature.
Mm-hmm.
We've got EJ, who is just a tremendous kiddo.
He can hit a wall, can't he?
I mean, all the football stuff, but I'm in love with this kiddo just as a person.
Mm-hmm.
He is so genuine and humble. I just love everything about him. And of course, when he gets on the football field, he's all in. And he's so selfless in that these young guys that he knows is going to have to carry the rock
mm-hmm.
a couple of times throughout the year need to develop, and he invests his own time outside of football to make sure those kiddos are learning the game.
It's got to be kind of interesting for a coach, any level, stand back and watch a veteran player on the team kind of help bring up the pups and bring them along. And I know you've seen that with EJ.
Right, yeah, for sure. You know, you always want a player-led team.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have someone like EJ, it makes a world of difference setting the standard and the culture within the team. Not only in the room, but with the team. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your philosophy, what you're teaching these guys. I mean, the plays are drawn up, and everybody's got to do that, we know. But You got to be the one that can get in and fix their head when something's not going right.
Well, yeah, certainly certainly everyone knows that the mental game is I'd say 80% of what you have to prepare for. So you said it best, right? I mean, you've got to be mentally tough. And so we stress that in our rooms, whether it's in the running back room or the specialist room, you've got to be mentally tough and be able to turn the page immediately after the play and keep moving on. So you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I've enjoyed that aspect of it. I challenge the kiddos to watch what they think, and watch what they say, and watch their body language, and know that each failure is an opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm. It is, for truly. How about special teams? You came in, you got a pretty good punter, you got a pretty good kicker. How do you build everything around them?
Yeah, that is a really great question. I'm blessed to have those guys, those specialists. I mean, they really get it going. I mean, without strong specialists, it really doesn't matter what you put out on the field, how you want to protect them, how you want to cover. But without those two guys, we're talking about Oz, Oslo, and the Ben. It's those guys make my job really, really a whole lot easier than I've been in the past. So we just put the pieces to kind of together. We kind of look at what their strengths are, and we identify those, and then we just kind of put the pieces to around them so they can have the success that they want to have.
Okay, very good.
Sure.
So all of that to bring you back here close to home. Grew up in Houston, but lots of ties here to Northeast Texas. Van Vandal, you played ball in the Woodlands growing up, or was it as a Vandal?
I did. I played at a high school called McCullough High School, which is now a junior high. It's in the Woodlands.
Okay.
Of course, the Woodlands wasn't the Woodlands when I was a young man. And I just absolutely loved the Woodlands and had an opportunity to play college football and landed here at East Texas State before it became A&M Commerce.
So Scotty Conley, was he your coach here?
Eddie Val. Coach Val was here. That's what makes me real excited about being back. You know, Clint Dozell was our quarterback and he's the head coach now, and that's really special. That's a really neat thing. And of course, Coach Conley, the O-line coach, is one of my very best friends and have been forever and ever. And you know, he was on the O-line there. And then we've got Jeff Cleveland that was involved in the football program. He had just finished up, but he was working in the GA as a GA. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's kind of a neat experience to come back and try to get these lines going again.
So did Clint just like call you up out of the blue and say, hey, we're putting the band back together or well, what?
He said, let's go. And I said, you know what? I mean, I generally speaking, probably wouldn't be my first choice. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he called and he said, let's go, I was like, I'm all in. I'm all in, and it's been really special coming back on campus, seeing how it's grown. I've met my wife here. I've got dear friends, fond memories of being here. So I'm real excited about being back.
Talk about some of the other stops you've had on the way back here.
Well, I started my football career actually in high school, at a high school called Smithson Valley High School.
Sure.
Which is down in
Go Rangers.
Go Rangers, yeah. Guns up, as they say, yeah. And and bounced around a little bit, experienced some things with some other local high schools in the San Antonio area. And I had a buddy call me and say, hey, you've got to do this. And I said, well, let's give it a shot. So next thing you know, I'm in San Diego Mesa Junior College.
Okay.
Enjoying the weather out there, and then I came back to Texas and had an opportunity to coach special teams and outside linebackers at McMurray, out in Abilene. And through a network, and by the grace of God, I got a phone call that said, hey, there's this guy named Jeff Traylor who's going to start up this program at UTSA
mm-hmm.
and put his thumbprint on it and see what happens and like you to join us. So I jumped to UTSA
Heck yeah.
for a number of years and had an opportunity to launch the first year of a new head coach by the name of Jason Eck out in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a tremendous success, a lot of fun. And now I'm back here in Texas.
Good to be home.
Yes, it's just
Hey, I got to tell you, Jeff Traylor, so he's a Gilmer guy.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Oh,
and
sure.
When he took that head coaching job and went home, it was so cool to see a local guy, you know, guy come home and have the kind of success that he was having. The first, I don't know, 5-7 times that we played Gilmer, we always came out on top. Jefferson did. It wasn't always pretty, but we did. But he turned that around.
Boy, did he!
And he really. I mean, gosh, their old Buckeye Stadium. It's got a few new bells and whistles to it, and it, all because of how many trips to the state finals and winning one or two of them too.
Yeah. He took basically the same philosophy and went to UTSA with it, and created a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Established a winning mindset, and look at there, you know, two conference championships I was part of. It was a neat experience. Yeah, I learned a lot from Coach Traylor.
Fun
sure.
stuff.
Yeah.
All right, man. So it's going to be, this is really, see, I'm starting to put some of these pieces together. You explaining it the way you have. That's awesome stuff. It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, you got a team out there probably needs some coaching up, so we're going to line up here and get this one done. And, folks, there'll be more. Chris Roberts and the East Texas A&M Lions are going to be next week opening up against Mercer out in Macon, Georgia. Don't want to miss it. Hang on. We'll be back with more. Hey, folks, we're back. More Inside Lion Athletics. In fact, this is going to wrap it up here. We've got head coach Ashley Gordon, Lions soccer. Lions are 1-1. You got a win over Grambling. And then coach Oklahoma came in and y'all gave them a fight, but it was 2-0 Sooners at the end. Quick look back at both of those games and how they get you ready for Ooh La La tonight.
Right. No, yeah, when we played Grambling, of course, we had to travel there and still a little bit of a quick turnaround. But, you know, both opponents, obviously being able to play, you know, a top team that always performs in the SWAC and then playing, you know, an SEC team, both teams very athletic, both teams pretty darn direct. And so our preparation going into both of those matches, we've worked on defending chaos in our box. Not giving up set pieces, but making sure that, you know, if we do concede a set piece, we've got to be really good defensively on it. And so, you know, I think, again, both of those games have helped prepare us, you know, for future games going forward. And, you know, playing an SEC opponent, the athleticism in all positions and the depth that they had, no matter, you know, who they subbed in, we had mm-hmm. to deal with that. And I'll tell you what, Charlie, you know, we conceded 2 goals in the first half. Both were 2 mistakes. Both mm-hmm. were preventable. So, you know, walking away from that game, can we fix those? Absolutely, 100%. But and then, of course, in the second half, we didn't concede, a goal. So I was really, really proud of how we competed. I was mm-hmm. proud of our defending as a unit. And we had some outstanding defensive players in this game. And, you know, when I coach our team, we always talk about, you know, defending also starts with our forwards. So, mm-hmm. you know, our forwards have to be able to defend and high press and eliminate, you know, a big ball, which was part of our game plan. And then our back line, you know, and our midfielders had to deal with a lot of direct balls being played in the air or that they were trying to be able to play over the top. And mm-hmm. so, you know, our back line, I thought, was outstanding in that game. And our goalkeeper, Emmy Finlinson, was outstanding. But there's no doubt, Charlie, that, you know, the kid that I think when I went back in and watched film, and of course, in real time, you're seeing this, Judith Nandwa, our sophomore left back, She was the best defender of both teams. She was the best 1v1 defender on the field. She was outstanding. She was outstanding. And so, really proud of our team's effort, proud in the fact that we competed, that we g it gave them a hard-fought match. I mean, they had to work for every blade of grass on the field as well. So, I'm really pleased with how we competed, how we walked away from that game. Our heads are up high, and playing an opponent going forward, I don't believe is going to have that same athleticism in every single position moving forward. I don't believe it's going to happen. So for us to have to deal with that type of athlete, I think it's going to help prepare us for the remainder of the season.
We watched that one online and got and the 2 points that you brought up about how much, physically larger number of the OU players were. You could see that on the video. And you could also see the Lion defenders just doing a great job
Oh,
keeping them out. And
great.
they were constantly in near our goal.
Yeah, Kelsey Lefevre and Elena Flores were great at center back. When Elena took a little bit of a knock, went out of the game, and Layla Lopez, who had actually has been coming back from an injury, stepped in and played her first minutes of the year. And she's a transfer that's coming in. She played at Stephen F. Austin her first year and transferred to us at mid-year. And she is a great player. And she just stepped in, clocked 50 minutes against OU and didn't miss a beat. And really happy with that. Emmy Finlayson, I thought, was great in goal. She ended up clocking the full 90 minutes. I was just proud all over with every player on our team, whether they started or whether they subbed in. Every kid competed, and we made it difficult for sure. And we had a great environment, Charlie. So I don't know, if
I
you
saw there's a
did see
good
that.
crowd.
Yeah, our band came, and I think Avi told me we had about close to 650 to just under 700 that were at the game. And so the environment was outstanding. It was awesome. A lot of rowdy, rowdy fans, and certainly with the noise, it made it difficult for OU to give any sort of instruction, for sure.
Well, they bring the Zuzuvuelas with them this time.
Oh no,
You remember that
I
World
need it.
Cup? That was, the whole story was about horns.
Well, it was a great environment. Our kids, they could feel the energy, and didn't th there was definitely did not disappoint.
Okay, so you got a SWAC game under your belt and against the SWAC champions, I might add, and you got an SEC team under your belt. How do you feel about your team through two games compared to just even last year?
Yeah, I mean, number one, I think this is the most athletic team that we've had in my tenure here, and I'm going on my fifth season. Certainly most athletic. We are fast. But in addition to that, I think our fitness has been great coming into the season, which is bodes well certainly for a good, non-conference schedule. But more importantly, our team just defensively is organized. I think everybody understands their role. And because we have a lot of players that can play multiple positions, and because we're versatile, I think we're able to fix things quickly, as we're in the midst of a game. But anyway, I feel really good about where we are from a this point early so far early in the season. I think that we'll just continue to get better every single game. We've got a really good opponent that we're going to play tonight. And with Louisiana, they're in the Sun Belt, with their record, last year they finished, it was like 4-3-3 in conference play, made their conference tournament, played well in their conference tournament, and really ended up losing on PKs. And so, but I think that they're a good team. I've got respect for them. I know that they're going to be organized coming in. Now, they have a lot of veterans. They've got, but when you look at the roster, they've got a lot of senior juniors and seniors that are on their team and start for them. So it's a very veteran team, very organized team. It's a team that's gonna be a different style in comparison to the two games that we just previously played. So I think with all that being said, playing another, opponent that's going to give us a different look is only going to help prepare us, moving forward. So I'm expecting a good team that's going to, come in and compete.
So that brings up I don't know if it's an interesting question, but it's interesting to more casual fans, perhaps. What are the differences between Grambling and the style of play of Oklahoma and what you expect out of Louisiana?
Well, Grambling and OU, very, very direct teams. They want to be able to play balls over the top. They are both high pressing teams. When you look at, Louisiana, they're going to be a more possession based team. They've got a really good international player that plays in the attacking mid. She's a player that we're going to have to deal with tonight. But for sure, they are not a team that wants to be able to skip the lines. And what I mean by that is they want to be able to play through their midfield. And so it is a very big team that we're going to compete against tonight. They've got, their two center backs that we're going to face tonight are both 1'6", 1'6", 1. They've got a, left back that's 5'8", 5'9". So their back line is really, really big. I know that they're very good in the air. We're also a team that's good in the air, but we're going to have to deal with a big team tonight. And so, but back to your question, they're a team that wants to be able to play through their midfield, and they've got, like I said, a Japanese player that plays center mid that is a very, very good player that we're gonna have to deal with tonight.
All right. Well, Coach, we won't keep you too much longer because that game is tonight. And hey, it's a 7 o'clock opening kick, and y'all get going against Louisiana. It used to be the University of Louisiana Lafayette. I think it was Southwestern Louisiana before that, but they're still the raging Cajuns, and the Lions want to come up with a dub over them here.
Yes,
Coach.
this will be, Charlie, our first time to meet. So it'll be a great test.
All right, good luck tonight, and we'll see you out at the field. They're playing right here on campus. Thanks, everybody, for another
Hanging
edition
out.
of Inside Lion Athletics. See you next week.